Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
I've been very lucky over the years to interview Patty Wetterling dozens of times. We obviously hope the circumstances would have been extraordinarily different, how all of us became so familiar with the Wetterling family. And last year, Patty wrote a book, Dear Jacob, A Mother's Journey of Hope. We talked then. The book is now out in paperback. Again, Dear Jacob, A Mother's Journey of Hope. I truly believe that Patty is an amazing individual who's handled the kidnapping of her son as well as anybody on the planet would have ever done it, and deserves all of our respect. And Patty is with us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Always a pleasure, Patty. Hope you're well. When you think about all the conversations you had with journalists and talk show hosts and individuals who bought the book, once you put in all the work on writing the book, what surprised you most about those conversations?
Oh, gosh. First of all, thank you, Chad. You've been with us on this very long journey, and you're part of what kept us alive and functioning. The media plays a huge role in finding kids, and nobody quits. So thank you. You know, what surprised me along the way was the depth of and the breadth of Jacob's reach. You know, I keep meeting people all over. I just 2 weeks ago got a letter from a guy who lived in Oklahoma, and he traveled around with his dad, and Jacob Story was on America's Most Wanted. His teacher thought he looked like Jacob, and they moved down to Mississippi, and he goes home one day from school, and his house is surrounded by local law enforcement, FBI, and all these people because she had reported it, and they tracked this kid down. He was Jacob's age, and he just wrote this tearful letter saying, you know, it was just so wrong and so unfair. I don't understand it, but yeah. I wasn't Jacob. And, you know, so the reach of the investigation was long and hard, and everybody carried him in their hearts. And I really, really love that. It was a time when this entire state, first of all, the state, the community, and then the state just came together. Everybody was united in this desperate search for Jacob, and there was just this different feeling than what I feel in the world today, where you know, people are picking at each other all the time. It's like, we need to come together. There's magic in that. There's power in that. And you know, what's better than to come together for kids? I still believe in a world where kids have the right to grow up safe and follow their dreams. So that was the the message, and I hear it from people today. Some of them share stories of their own loss through accidents, cancer, suicide, and how, you know, collectively when you share your story, you're no longer alone, and we strengthen one another that way. And so that's been really rather magical.
You know, Patty, I sadly make this point often, and I use 9/11 as my example, and I think of COVID, and now I think of the fires, where COVID, it was about 2 days later, and we were finger-pointing, and one side was blaming the other. With the fires, and again, I want a full investigation to take place with the fires to find out what could have been down, how we could have avoided this. But again, finger-pointing right away. And now when you think of that, when you bring up Jacob, that is such a point. I think of that time when this state wrapped your family around their arms collectively and said, what can we do? How can we find him? How can this happen? Whether I was, you know, this is Paul Majors on Care 11, me on a talk show, or everyday individuals. And now, I don't know if we would do that, as horrifying as that is for me to say. I think the majority would, but there would be more of the blame game right away, and that is a sad, sad statement.
Yeah, it is, because it doesn't get you anywhere. You know, I've worked with lots of victim families, and it's really easy to get angry as time goes by. They didn't find your child or loved one, and but that doesn't get you any answers. You know, we needed each other. And, you know, one of the gifts along the way was Joy Baker and Jared Shiro, who came and told his story. And it generated other men. They were not kids anymore, coming forward. And I jokingly called it a plumber, a blogger, a chiropractor, and a mom. And we formed this coalition that refused to go away. And it stirred up energy, and eventually, you know, the sheriff agreed. He was thinking about a different suspect, agreed to let the FBI, you know, long-term search team come in, and they did, and they loved Joy and Jared's work, and they, you know, they just kept digging and digging, and then technology advanced.
Yeah.
Because they had run Jared's clothing before, but they got a cold hit, a DNA hit, and they knew who took Jared. They couldn't charge him on that because of the statute of limitations. And that's been changed. A lot of things have changed for the better. And I guess this is a really deep topic of how you choose to live your life. I didn't have a choice. I couldn't live in that dark world. I was dying inside at the beginning. I couldn't get out of bed. People don't know that side of me because Jerry did all the talking at the beginning. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't live there, and I had to hold on to the world that Jacob knew and to fight for that and to look for light in the darkness. And there are way more good people in the world than bad.
Oh, for sure. Yep. Absolutely.
We just need to pull together again, like you said. And I think it will happen. You know, life is kind of a pendulum, and it goes from one side to the other. But I think people are seeking that unity again, and I find it through children. I love their messaging. I hear a lot from kids. You know, people come in the line to get their book signed and say, you know, I was 3 years old when this happened, or I was seven. I couldn't ride my bike anymore. And, you know, it changed the way they parented. But and a lot of people faulted, you know, they call them helicopter parents. And it's like, I hate that term. It's like parents became more involved in their children's lives. And that's huge for their development and growth and, you know, becoming successful adults. And, you know, I think that we just need to keep sight of the vision of how do we want the world to be, and what can we do today to make it happen.
This is the very familiar voice of Patty Wetterling. Her book out now in paperback, and it's absolutely worth your time. Dear Jacob, A Mother's Journey of Hope. If you spent at least one day in the state of Minnesota, you know about Jacob Wetterling. You know about Patty Wetterling. Patty, I ask you about this a lot, and you've alluded to it already multiple times, how we in certain counties, in the state, and the nation are better when children disappear. And how it's collective, it's laws, it's many things. You're still involved in this. If we could be even better in trying to track down kids when they disappear, when you have these conversations with other parents who are involved or other legislators or other authorities? Are there a couple things that stand out where we could even improve the process and continue to help finding these kids as quickly as possible?
I think the biggest thing is to never forget and to look. I talked today with Chris Wiedel. Her sister Susan has been missing since January 19th. So Sunday it'll be 38 years, 1988. Mm. Wow. And they have no answers. She was living in Lake Elmo and stopped at a gas station with a car trouble and was last seen getting into a car with a stranger, somebody nobody knows. And somebody has to have information on that. So the never forgetting. What I've really focused on, I think that we've done a lot of things with law enforcement training and resources and technology, and we are finding kids better and quicker. But I spent a whole bunch in the Jacob Wetterling Resource Center still focuses a lot on prevention. And part of that is how are we raising children who grow up to cause harm to another? And how can we turn that around and teach about respectful relationships and intervene if a child is acting inappropriately and get them some help? It's not just a arrest and prosecute thing. It's like, let's get these kids some help so they don't grow up to cause further harm. And there's great success when children get the support and the changes needed in their lives. And so, you know, that's a big part of still what has to happen. I don't think our culture is not real respectful. I still, every day, I look at the 11 for Jacob, because I think if we teach these, and we, if each of us tried to do all, can I read them?
Yeah, for
be,
sure.
Be fair, be kind, be understanding, be honest, be thankful, be a good sport, be a good friend, be joyful, be generous, be gentle with others, and be positive. I think we could raise that society, a world where we treat one another better. And I think that's a big part of the solution.
I think that's a great way to finish our conversation. Again, this is Patty Wetterling. I really encourage you to read the book and to stay involved with what Patty and others and trying to help finding kids who now might be adults, because sometimes you can find them 3 days after they disappear, 3 hours, and sometimes 3 years, 30 years, right? I mean, these stories. Patty's book, Dear Jacob, A Mother's Journey of Hope. Thank you so much, Patty. Only my best.
Thank you, Chad. I know
we'll talk soon.
Oh, please. Thank you so much.
Patty Wetterling, right here on Newstalk 830 WCCO.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This, by a mere coincidence, this song works. We'll stay serious for one more segment. We have the news today, finally, 15 months after an unspeakable atrocity committed by Hamas, where we have the framework of a ceasefire deal between Israel and this despicable organization of Hamas. It appears that we're going to get 30-some hostages out. Still we'll have 65 hostages left. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Palestinians who Hamas wants out will be released. There have been negotiations for forever, right, Dave? I mean, how many times have we all, if you've paid attention to this, oh, we're close, and then it would fall apart. And it played a part in the downfall of Joe Biden. As much as inflation? No. As much as his cognitive decline? No. But within his party, the divide on support Israel no matter what, that side, or Israel has killed thousands and thousands and thousands of innocent Palestinians. What are you doing, Joe? That hurt him, without a doubt.
Specifically with the always previously bankable young voters of America.
Yeah. Listen, when Trump, to his credit, ended up faring a lot better with younger voters, that helped him. Obviously, appearing on Rogan and a lot of the podcasts helped him. You know, I think younger voters might have seen the decline of Joe Biden and were willing to accept it a lot faster than some of the diehards. Now, let's get to parts of this. Donald Trump's about to be the president of the United States.
Really?
Yeah. Just found out about that about 5 minutes ago.
Coming up next week?
I should have told you that. Did that play a part? They've been trying to negotiate a deal for months and months and months, and Trump's about to be president on Monday, and he's threatened all hell is going to take place. For someone to say it played no part, and they know that, tell me exactly how you know that. Now, shockingly, Donald Trump is taking full credit. Donald Trump would take full credit for the fact that I drove my car downtown today. I'm not the person here to say it played no part. I'm not. Are you going to do that?
Nope.
Might have played a lot. Are we ever going to really know? I don't know. Because you know who I don't trust? Hamas.
I think they'll give us a solid percentage.
I sound like I'm going, hey, the Hamas spokesman is here. He's going to tell me the truth.
Have a Hamas presser.
Right? I'll make some of the points I've made many, many times. There's no defending Hamas. None, zero, zilch. They would be willing to kill any of us from the West, including me, who half my family's Jewish, half is not. I wasn't raised Jewish. But guess what? I don't think they'd say, oh, so you raised your mom. You didn't have a bar mitzvah. You haven't raised. No, they would have cut my head off by that point.
The bar mitzvah question, that's what tips the scales.
Hey, what are you saying, a curb, you know? There would have been a lot of
Palestinian chicken?
Yeah. I love the Palestinian chicken episode. Come on. There's nothing to defend about Hamas. Nothing. Bibi Netanyahu, in my opinion, is a thug and a criminal. I think Israel would have been better off almost every time that he was the prime minister. He's a criminal. He has to own absolutely a fair amount of how the bleep did this happen. And was he too caught up with, I got to stay in power because this court case could send me to jail? It wasn't all him, but, you know, this Israeli intelligence is legendary. And they just brutally raped and assaulted and killed hundreds and hundreds that day. So, of course, Israel has the right to respond. Of course they do. And they should have, with a lot of force. But as I said many times, I think there were ways where they could have been more precise and more selective, and too many thousands of innocent Palestinians who had nowhere to go were killed. Now, the immediate comeback, and it's a fair one, is, oh, well, guess where Hamas was hiding? Right with everyday Palestinian citizens. And yes, in Gaza, you have individuals who live there and believe Hamas is the key to their world. You also have many, many others, hundreds of thousands who want no part of Hamas. They're not exactly sympathetic to Israel either. But they are literally, not exaggerating, deathly afraid to say anything. Because if they speak out against Hamas, they'll watch their family get tortured and then they'll be killed themselves. So Hamas deserves, again, zero credit at any point, including hiding amongst children and schools and hospitals. I don't have any bar of reasonable nature for Hamas. I have a higher bar for Israel. And yes, innocent civilians die in war. And this is brutal war. But the unending bludgeoning and scattering of civilians who were killed, did it have to be the number it was? I don't think so. I don't think so. This is another conversation, though, where nuance is dead. It's gone. Because if you try to make some of the points I'm making and a lot of others make, well, some, oh, geez, you're all for Israel or you're all for Hamas. No, I'm zero for Hamas. Never. And there are some Palestinians I'm not for either, because hundreds of thousands support Hamas. But hundreds of thousands are trapped there without any food, without medicine for their children, and they're trapped with these thugs and despicable individuals stationed all around them, and they've died because they can't escape. And considering the brilliance of Israelis' intelligence and the Mossad and their military, it just shouldn't have been that many. It should not have been. Now, on a deal where it's 33 some released and it's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of prisoners, does that seem fair? Of course it doesn't seem fair. Because we're going to learn more about some of these prisoners released, and I'm sure some are awful. How do you negotiate, Dave, a reasonable deal with Hamas?
That's a good question. I have no idea. How do you just, I mean, reasonable is the word there. Can Hamas be reasonable?
No. None. Zero.
Doesn't seem that way.
Netanyahu and the solely Israeli forces say, here's how you deal with Hamas. You kill them.
Yeah. Can Benjamin Netanyahu be reasonable?
Benjamin Netanyahu is obviously more reasonable than Hamas. But
high bar there.
Yeah. Right. Would he listen to Joe Biden in any way? I think all the evidence seems to be no. And when Biden tried to put some pressure on him, he wouldn't listen to it. And then there'd be more horrifying stories. And so Biden was incredibly boxed in because it is a region where the number of supporting countries of the United States of America, it's not a long list.
Not strong there.
Right? And then we had some people who were like, Israel's the devil, it's apartheid, don't give them any money. They're over the top also. What, did Israel go too far before this to innocent Palestinians, in my opinion, Gaza? Yeah, they did. I'm not talking Hamas. I mean, I've ended up reading a lot of good reporting on this, most importantly by Tom Friedman. And there have been too many people in leadership forever in Israel who want no part of a two-state solution. That's not a solution with Hezbollah and Hamas. It's with Palestinians who, you know what they want to do? Go to work.
Live their lives.
They want to take their kids to soccer. They want to have a meal. And should have tried to work out a situation where more of those individuals who prosper could live their lives so they could try to suppress the Hamas leadership. But what happened is people became more and more vulnerable because their lives were so terrible to say, well, they're not on my team. So I may not like Hamas, but at least they're fellow Palestinians. You know, Biden today is saying it's the exact same framework that he proposed in May. And he gets a celebration today, right, because he gets to announce this. He gets his final farewell address, which we're carrying. But God knows if Hamas lives up to it. How many of these hostages are dead already? An American or Americans are coming back? And will this stop Hamas 4 months from now? Are you convinced?
No. 4 months?
No.
Now, 2 months? 1 month?
Yeah.
A couple weeks?
Yeah. Let's see. Because that area is never going to be resolved. Ever. We could all live to 10,000. Land, different gods, different hatred. Something happens, planned, something happens unexpected, and it flares up again. Israel had a lot of success with Hezbollah. Hamas was different. Now, they killed an extraordinary amount of leaders. But in killing the amount of civilians they did, they caused some legitimate hate, and they caused some folks who are anti-Semitic already to just feel like they could reinforce their feelings. So, yes, good news. A deal that you never go, we're going to get a great deal. And what else is new? Now we have a divide and who gets credit. And again, if you think Trump being in office in days played no part, we just don't agree. And you know me, big Trump supporter.
Always have been.
I think we just
Nice hat, by the way.
We just have to deal with that, really. His hat today?
No, your hat, the one you're wearing.
My MAGA hat?
Yeah.
There is a MAGA hat somewhere. I have a picture of Quentin wearing a MAGA hat. I will not post that today.
You should have worn it out to dinner last night.
I should have. There is a picture, though, of Quentin and Mike at Kobe last night having a great time. That's on Instagram.
Very good.
Chad Hartman Show. Check it out right now. Kyle Brandt from NFL Network. First of all, he's really good on NFL Network. And he's also really good on serious topics and pop culture. And post a picture of Dennis Leary today. Dennis Leary has a show that's come out. He's like a general. Doesn't look good at all, does it?
Oh, I have to rip it now. I haven't even seen a minute of it.
I'm just saying.
Calm down.
The previews as a fan of Dennis Leary.
I like Dennis Leary, too. Give him a shot.
I highly doubt I'm going to give it a shot.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It looks like a mutt.
You know what's overrated? Making opinions before you actually know the facts, Chad.
That's fair. That's a fair comment. So Kyle Brandt showed this picture of Leary and somebody else and said, when you think of Dennis Leary, what do you think of? And for me, it's not even close. It's Rescue Me. Rosie, if you're out there listening, when Rosie and I were together for 8, 9 years, that was during some of the salad days of Rescue Me. I looked it up earlier. I think Rescue Me might have been, the only reason why I think I'm right is I looked it up, 04 to 11. Rescue Me was about a firefighting station. In New York City.
That's exactly what it was.
Yeah, firefighting station in New York City. And everyone was screwed up. And you had all sorts of great characters, Leary being the lead one. But we were just talking yesterday with Patrick about Uncle Carl, Lenny Clark, who's phenomenal in this. I loved Rescue Me because it could be extraordinarily serious about the trauma with a firefighting, with firefighters, with the department, at the station, really important topics. And then all their screwed up relationships that they would have. And it was a lot of drama. It was soap opera. It was funny. To me, over the last 25 years, If I want to even go 20, the two most underrated TV shows are both shows I love, The Americans and Rescue Me. It was also very strange for me because Dennis Leary's ex-wife, Andrea Roth, looked like a combination of Kathleen. I was going through a divorce with Kathleen and Jen, who I was just dating. Because every other buddy of mine goes, God, she looks just like Kathleen. Then my other buddy goes, she looks just like Jen. I'm like, I know. She looks like if they had kids, the one kid, it was like Jen's blonde hair and part of Jen's face and part of Kathleen's face. It was at a time in my life when the divorce wasn't smoothest, and that Jen and I fell in love really fast. So there's another weird personal hook to it. But I loved it. It was so good because there were so many good side characters. And Leary, you want to believe he's finally figuring it out, and he would just screw things up again in his personal life. You know, and really good. And again, New York City Fire Department, right? Just years after 9/11, why not? We're going to take a quick break here because we went longer with Patty, and then rightfully so, we talked a lot about the ceasefire agreement. Last 20 to 25 years, underrated TV shows, and you can't text with The Sopranos. Underrated. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. Breaking Bad. Underrated. No. Game of Thrones. Underrated. No. The greatest show ever, Curb Your Enthusiasm. No, not underrated. It's got to be something that received some herald or didn't receive any herald.
Mm-hmm. No herald.
No
lack
herald.
Of herald.
Famous Herald 651-461-9226. So underrated TV shows.
Ramus.
Famous Heralds. For some reason with the Eagles in the playoffs, you know what came to me? Harold Carmichael.
Okay. Harold. That's a deeper cut.
That's a deeper cut. My Uncle Harold is the number one for me.
Hark the Herald Angels.
Very good. Uncle Harold, an amazing, amazing human being who had a much larger personality than his brother, my father. And that's the truth.
My dad's name is Jerry, but a lot of people, like my mother, call him Harold once in a while.
How come?
I don't know why.
Interesting. Famous Heralds and most underrated TV show of the last 25 years. We just talked Jacob and Patty Wedderling. We just talked the ceasefire. We can also have a little bit of fun. What do you got? 651-461-9226. All right, what do you have, Dave Harrigan? Underrated TV show last 25 years.
25 years is just about stretching it because it was very early 2000s, maybe even very late 90s. Arrested Development will always be the greatest underrated show in the history of the world. Ironic because the critics loved
it. The first three seasons.
Obviously.
Not the Netflix.
The Netflix season's terrible.
Catastrophe.
Terrible, 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 terrible.
I'm actually going out happy hour tonight with the two biggest Arrested Development fans in my life. Are you in charge?
I'd like to join.
Yeah.
We could just talk about the show.
You want it? Come on over.
Let's do it.
Come on over.
It's happening. Oh, I still love it to this day. I can pick out any episode from, as you said, those first three seasons.
I need to go
and
back.
Enjoy it as much as I did the first time.
I need to go back.
And Loudermilk on Netflix.
Oh.
I've really enjoyed that
really?
One.
Okay.
Yes.
Harold Stassen. Harold and the Purple Crayon. Did I just step into something? I don't know.
No, that's a book, I believe.
Yeah. Newsroom. Newsroom was too liberal pompous for me. Republicans were just the devil. Not smart, evil, and the liberals, we think. And even
very woke.
Even Jeff Daniels, who lists himself as a Republican, would call out the Republicans all the time. So it's a bit too much of that. Harold and Kumar.
Yes.
Nice. Yeah.
I go to White Castle.
Yeah. West Wing, does that count as underrated? That was lauded.
Yeah, that was pretty, a heck of a run.
Yeah. Deadwood. That's on the edge right now being underrated, right?
People loved Deadwood.
People, the individuals I know, I haven't watched it, but the people I know who love Deadwood, they're like, it's the best show ever.
Mm-hmm.
Recently discovered Shrinking and Apple, Wowzer's Keeper. I love Shrinking. First season was a home run the whole time. Second season, hit and miss. I don't know. It's received a decent amount of buzz, but I think it's still probably.
Being on Apple, still not enough people have seen it.
Yeah, that's fair. To me, it's my favorite Harrison Ford role ever. That's how good I think Harrison Ford is in Shrinking. Justified. The It crowd. They tried a U.S. version with Joel McHale and absolutely was awful. Luther. What do you think of Luther? I didn't watch enough.
No, never saw Luther.
The Old Man. Dark Winds. Longmire. Northern Exposure. That could have been Carter. Carter loved that one. That's a good one for him.
Afterlife, too. That's when I was thinking Afterlife. Of Carter loves.
Okay.
Ricky Gervais.
I can't believe I forgot this because this is my second chart reference. 100% I have to add Rescue Me and The Americans with Patriot. Patriot was so unbelievably brilliant for the two seasons it was on. It is a crime against humanity that we did not get more episodes of that phenomenal show. Patriot's so good. Get a Life with Chris Elliott. You know, obviously I'm team Letterman. I'm team NBC Letterman. I just feel like Chris Elliott, you had to watch him in doses.
That's very fair.
Right? There could be too much. Last Man on Earth with Will Forte. Again, Carter, he thinks Will Forte is the Laurence Olivier of today.
Is he not?
He's not. Yes, yes. See, somebody else, number one with a bullet, Patriot. You're so right. Nurse Jackie. Everyone loves Raymond. Get out of here. That cannot be underrated.
That one did very well.
Oh, my God. Westworld. Boston Legal. Dead to Me. I like Dead to Me the first season, and then it got too strange.
I liked it.
You liked all of it?
I did.
Are we 35 here or are we 50?
It could be 35, or you could stretch it. Do what you want.
Let's just talk to Jim Pete next hour.
That's fine.